Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board Meeting of May 19th, 2023. I invite you to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag. Thank you. We roll call now.
Thanks for roll call for board members. We have Gary Bailey.
Here.
Marshall Knopf.
Present.
Nick Goodman.
Here.
Krista Guzman Glover.
Here.
Tracy Mayfield.
Here.
For board staff, we have Frank McGolly.
Present.
Sally Shepherd.
Here.
Bruce Swinnell.
Present.
Rosa Rodriguez.
Present.
And myself, Heather Santabria. We also have Helen Bordelon.
Present.
Lisa Chavez.
Here.
Keegan McConnell.
Here.
Kathy Bergeron.
Here.
Darnay Griffin.
Here.
And then for legal counsel, we have Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General.
Present.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, to that tune, we will have an independent advisor who will be joining us by 9 o'clock for the motions to deem for additional legal counsel.
Perfect. Let's move to section three, board business. First, discussion, consideration, possible action on approval of the regular board minutes for February 17th, 2023 meeting. Does the board member have a motion regarding those minutes?
A motion, we accept the minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, based on unanimous voting, then that passes. We'll do that. Number B is discussion, consideration, possible action, approval of the regular board minutes for the April 21st, 2023 meeting. Do we have a motion?
I move we accept the minutes from April 21st.
Second.
The motion second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, again, unanimously, we agree that we accept those minutes. Third down is board member declaration of conflicts of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest? Hearing none, we move on to the next item. Welcoming to the visiting barber and cosmetology students and instructors. Do you have any schools represented out here?
We do.
Sit down.
Jerry Major from Gateway Community College. Amy Blackman is also here as well. Christian School.
All Greeley folks, huh?
Yep.
Nice.
Hamilton Institute, Peggy Beckley.
Oh, nice. Two schools. Very nice. Two out of 82. So 80 more to draw in. We're going to step. Thank you for coming. We appreciate your support. And we don't have any students unless Ray's a student. I don't think so. Maybe?
I already got a job.
All right. Never mind. We'll let it go. All right. So let's come up to the complaint review and consent agenda step one. Certainly we don't have any executive director business today.
We do not. Mr. Chair, members of the board, we have tabled this month's executive director's report to for timing purposes to ensure that we can get through cases today. So we will pause, though I did prepare the materials for you and it is in your shared drive. I also attached it in an email that went out to all of you yesterday afternoon about 2 o'clock. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those.
Okay. Anyone have a point they'd like to discuss? Probably didn't do our homework, but we'll look at them.
I did.
Oh, she did her homework. All right, Tracy, so could you recount that for us? Tell us what was in
there. There's some of it we won't know because the people are out till June and the rest was.
Good. All right, I feel informed now. Thank you. All right, so let's move up to our consent agenda. Oh, there you are. I wrote this.
Hello. Step 1A, recommended dismissal. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under Step 1A, recommended dismissal, have been reviewed. And according to board parameters, then we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary actions.
Is there any discussion? Questions? Motion.
I can make a motion.
Thank you.
Move that we take staff recommendations for recommended dismissals under step 1A.
We have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, unanimously, we agree to accept staff recommendations and all of these take the 3-2 mute breach.
Step 1B, non-disciplinary letters of concern. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under step 1B, recommended non-disciplinary letter of concerns, have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Any discussion? Any questions the board has? Any motion that the board may have?
Motion to accept staff recommendations for non-disciplinary actions of concern. Step B.
Second.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, unanimously, we agree to accept staff recommendations in all those cases. Also.
Step 1D, recommended informal interview with negotiation terms. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all of the cases listed under step 1D, recommended for informal interview with negotiation terms have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
All right, do we have any discussion on these items? There's quite a few of them there, 35 of them. Anything questionable, anything you're curious about? Listening to record is in your other manual. What are you, Katie?
I make a motion that we accept staff recommendations for recommended informal interview or negotiation terms under step 1D.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, we agree unanimously to accept staff recommendations on all 35 cases. That's interesting. And we have made it to a part of the agenda in record speed, where we are ahead of schedule instead of behind. We're just curious. And we are stuck until 9 o'clock in the morning. So we are going to go on a small break for 20 minutes, and it will restart at 9. Feel free to mute about the cabin.
Hello.
Hi, we're on pause until 9 o'clock to begin cases.
Yeah, and I get that, but like the virtual access, it's not working. So I had to call in and I don't know, like I'm copying and pasting it into Google Meets and there's something, must be a typo, or does anyone have exactly what that is?
I would have to defer to staff. I'm not staff, but okay. I'm calling in as well. So.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I just.
I'm sorry. We're currently on a recess. We'll be back in about 15 minutes.
Okay.
All right, we're coming back into session now. And we'll move to section five on the agenda, part A. Motions deemed, allegations admitted. And we'll start with our first case, which is case number 97181 and 97182. And start with our script, which is, this is a time scheduled with the board's consideration of the state's motion deemed allegations admitted in case number 97181 and 97182. Is the state represented?
Good morning, Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General representing the state of Arizona.
Is the licensee present? Henry T. Nguyen. Star six if you're on the phone. All right, hearing no response, the motion deemed allegations admitted was filed by the state and a copy was mailed to the licensee at their last known address on record with the board. In the state's motion, it says that a complaint and notice of hearing was mailed to the licensee at their last known address, 30 days passed, and then no answer was filed by the licensee. Does the state wish to make oral argument?
Yes, thank you. Good morning. On March 16th of this year, the board issued its complaint in the matter, notifying the licensee that a hearing would be held in this matter, also notifying the licensee of their responsibility to respond to that complaint. The certified mail was signed for by the licensee, indicating that they have actual notice of the complaint. ARS 32573E requires the licensee to respond to the board complaint within 30 days or the board shall consider the failure to respond as the licensee's admission by default to the acts charged in the board complaint. In this case, there has been no response. And just to remind the board, this was a matter, as with all the motions to deem, that are set for the informal proceeding. So the individual licensee has had the opportunity to contact the board in this matter. In this case, there has been no response to the complaint in 30 days that have passed. Therefore, on behalf of the state of Arizona, I would ask that the board grant the state's motion to deem allegations admitted as their first motion, as their second motion to adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law contained in the complaint. And then regarding discipline, the state would recommend a $250 civil penalty, and if not paid within 30 days, revoke the license. Thank you, and I'm available for any questions.
All right. Does the licensee wish to respond? Mr. Nguyen? Star 6, if you're on the phone. Does the board have any questions? All right, hearing no response from licensee, is there a motion granting the state's motion deem allegations admitted?
I'm Tracy Mayfield. I move to grant the state's motion to deem allegations admitted.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. We have a roll call vote.
A roll call vote, Gary Bailey?
Yes.
Marshall Knapp?
Yes.
Krista Goodson Glover?
Aye.
Tracy Mayfield?
Aye.
Nick Goodman?
Yes.
Is there a motion to adopt findings of facts, conclusions of law?
I move that we adopt findings of facts and conclusion of law.
Second.
Hearing a motion and a second, we have a roll call vote.
Gary Bailey?
Yes.
Marshall Knapp?
Yes.
Krista Goodman Glover?
Aye.
Tracy Nadel?
Aye.
Nick Goodman?
Yes.
Is there a motion regarding an order of discipline in this matter?
Tracy Mayfield, I move that we impose the following discipline as our order in this matter. The
250.
250, and then if we don't hear from them, 30 days, revoking of the license.
Second.
Motion and second. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Gary Bailey?
Yes.
Marshall Knapp?
Aye.
Krista Goodman Glover?
Aye.
Tracy Mayfield?
Aye.
Nick
Goodman? Yes.
Okay. Please, this matter in order to be prepared by the staff and mailed to the licensee and the Assistant Attorney General. Okay, we'll move to the next case, our case number 97225. This is a time scheduled for the board's consideration of the state's motion deem allegations admitted in case number 97225. Is the state represented?
Yes, good morning. Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state of Arizona in this matter.
Is the licensee present? Taylor Boykins? Star 6, if you're on the phone. Taylor Boykins? There is no response. A motion to deem allegations admitted was filed by the state, and a copy was mailed to the licensee at their last known address on record with the board. In the state's motion, it says that a complaint and notice of hearing was mailed to the licensee at their last known address, 30 days passed, and no answer was filed by the licensee. Does the state wish to make oral argument?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, members of the board. On December 23rd of 2022, the board issued its complaint in this matter. To date, there has been no response to that complaint. The board sent the complaint to licensee's address of record with the board, which we are required to do under the statute by certified and regular mail. The regular mail was not returned. I'd also like to share with the board that board staff, Ms. Rosa Rodriguez, had multiple conversations with this licensee and that the licensee was actually aware of the complaint. But to date, we have not had an actual response from the licensee. Pursuant to ARS 32573E, this requires the licensee to respond to the board's complaint within 30 days, or the board shall consider the failure to respond to the licensee's admission by default to the acts charged in the board complaint. In this matter, the licensee has proper notice of the complaint and failed to respond within that period of time. So the state would respectfully request that the board grant the state's motion to deem allegations admitted. In their second motion, adopt the findings of facts and conclusions of law contained in the board complaint. And regarding the board discipline, impose a $600 civil penalty to be paid within 30 days, and if not paid, have the license revoked. And I'm available for any questions the board has. Thank you.
Does the board have any questions at this point? Does the licensee wish to respond? Taylor Boykin, if you're on the phone, star six. Hearing no response, is there a motion granting the state's motion to deem allegations admitted?
I move that we, Marshall Knox, I move that we grant the state's motion to deem and allegations admitted.
A second.
The motion is second. Can we have a roll call vote?
It's just the motion to deem.
Motion deem.
At this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Roll call vote, Gary Bagley?
Yes.
Marshall Knox?
Aye.
Mr. Guzman Glover?
Aye.
Tracy Mason?
Aye.
Nick Goodman?
Yes.
Is there a motion to adopt findings of facts, conclusions of law?
Once again, Marshall Knox, I move that.
Okay, somebody go.
I move that we adopt the factual allegations and alleged violations in the formal hearing complaint.
We have a second?
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote?
Roll call vote, Gary Bagley?
Yes.
Marshall Knox?
Aye.
Mr. Goodman Glover?
Aye.
Tracy Mason?
Aye.
Nick.
Yes. Is there a motion regarding an order of discipline in this matter?
Marshall Knox, I move that we impose the following discipline as our order in this matter. The $600 fine to be paid within 30 days, and if not paid, the to revoke the license.
Tracy Mayfield, I second.
We have a motion and a second. We have a roll call vote.
Gary Bagley?
Yes.
Marshall Knox?
Aye.
Mr. Guzman Glover?
Aye.
Tracy Mason?
Aye.
Nick Goodman?
Yes.
All right, this concludes this matter in order to be prepared by the staff, mailed to the licensee and the Assistant Attorney General. Thank you. Brings us to our third case in this section. This is a time schedule for the board's consideration of the state's motion deem allegations admitted in cases number 97477 and 97481. Is the state represented?
Yes, good morning. Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state of Arizona.
Is the licensee present? This is Michelle Lee Pickens. Michelle Lee Pickens, you're on the phone, star six to unmute. Hearing no response, a motion deem allegations admitted was filed by the state and a copy was mailed to the licensee at their last known address on record with the board. In the state's motion, it says that a complaint and notice of hearing was mailed to the licensee at their last known address. 30 days passed and no answer was filed by the licensee. Does the state wish to make oral argument?
Yes, thank you. On March 8th of this year, 2023, the board issued its formal complaint in this matter. The board sent the complaint to the licensee's last known address with the board. The certified mail in this case was actually signed for. The regular mail was not returned. Therefore, the licensee has received actual notice of the complaint. Pursuant to ARS 32573E, it requires that the licensee respond to the board complaint within 30 days or the board shall deem failure to respond as licensee's admission by default to the acts charged in the board complaint. Again, in this case, the licensee was properly noticed. There has been no response. So therefore, the state would respectfully request that the board grant the state's motion to deem allegations admitted, a second motion to adopt the findings of facts and conclusions of law, and regarding discipline, impose a $500 civil penalty, and if not paid within 30 days, revoke the license. I'm available for any questions of the board, and thank you.
Does the board have any questions at this point? All right, offer the licensee an opportunity to respond. M.D. Pauline's Nails Incorporated. It's Michael B. Pitkins. I mispronounced it the first time. Star 6, if you're on the phone. Hearing no response, is there a motion granting the state's motion to deem allegations admitted?
I, Tracy Mayfield, I move to grant the state's motion to deem allegations admitted.
Second, Marshall Knox.
The motion is second. Can we have a roll call vote?
Gary Bailey?
Yes.
Marshall Knox?
Yes.
Krista Guzman Glover?
Aye.
Tracy Mayfield?
Aye.
Nick Pittman?
Aye.
Is there a motion to adopt findings of facts, conclusions of law?
Marshall Knox, I move that we adopt the finding facts, factual allegations, and the alleged violations in the formal hearing complaint.
A second.
The motion is second. Can we have a roll call vote?
Gary Bailey?
Yes.
Marshall Knox?
Aye.
Krista Guzman Glover?
Aye.
Tracy Mayfield?
Aye.
Nick Goodman?
Yes.
Is there a motion regarding an order of discipline in this matter?
Marshall Knox, I move that we impose the following discipline as our order in this matter, a $500 civil penalty to be paid within 30 days, and if not, to revoke the license.
Tracy Mayfield, a second.
We have a motion, a second. Can we have a roll call vote?
Gary Bailey?
Yes.
Marshall Knox?
Aye.
Krista Guzman Glover?
Aye.
Tracy Mayfield?
Aye.
Nick Goodman.
Yes.
This concludes this matter in order to be prepared by the staff, mailed to the licensee and the assistant attorney general. Taking it fast.
Thank you.
All right. We'll give her a chance to get to her chair. It's a long walk.
Again, Mr. Chair, members of the board, that does conclude section 5A. And as we are waiting for our assistant attorney general, who will now return to being our legal counsel for the board, we will be going to section 5B, review, discussion, and possible action on compliance with consent agreement pursuant to ARS 32572A9. Ms. Rodriguez, will you please present the case?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, on case number 96600, Christina Gallegos, license number 11015579, I would like to ask the board if the case can be administrative closed. All mail correspondence has been returned to the office from the Postal Service with no forwarding mailing address. And once the licensee contacts the office, the case will be reopened and go through its process.
All right, does anybody have questions about this? It just keeps us from pounding on the same door when nobody answers. We have a motion regarding this case.
I move that we accept staff recommendations. Tracy Mayfield.
In case number 96600.
Nine six six zero zero.
Second.
The motion is second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Unanimously agree to accept staff recommendations on case number 96600.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. That concludes section 5B. We will now move on to section 6A, without negotiations, informal interview pursuant to ARS 32573CD. And again, we have one case without negotiation options. Ms. Rodriguez, will you please present this case?
For case number 197809, this is going to be continued for the next court meeting. And then for step 2B with negotiation options, number one will be calling in, two will be appearing, three will be calling in, four appearing, five appearing, number six unresolved, seven unresolved, eight continued, nine continued, 10 continued.
We need to do the swearing of staff. All right. So starting an informal interview.
Yep.
It is now 9:23 on May 19th, 2023. This is the time and place scheduled for the board's review of cases scheduled for an informal interview pursuant to ARS 32573. My name is Board Chairman Begley. The other board members will now introduce themselves and indicate whether they are a public or a professional member. Tracy, would you begin, please?
Tracy Mayfield, cosmetologist.
Marshall Knox, vice chair, barber school owner.
Nick Goodman, public member.
Trista Guzman Glover, public member.
Thank you all. Also present is the board's executive director, Frank Magali, and the board's attorney, Mona Baskin, from the Arizona Attorney General's Office. When your case is called, unmute your phone by pressing star six. Please be aware that we have read all the materials submitted. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask that those speaking not to take time repeating information the board has already received. You and your legal counsel, if applicable, collectively will be given time to address the board equal to the time it took to present the investigative report, or about 5 minutes, whichever is greater. The board has a civility policy, and we request that all participants conduct themselves in a professional manner. Once the board concludes its discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberations. While the parties are free to stay and listen to the deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves on the board and request you not interrupt that process. This time I'd like to have the staff sworn in. We'll swear this out to be testifying today. Will the following compliance team members please stand and raise your right hand? Rosa Rodriguez, Ellen Bordelon, Lisa Chavez, Tina McConnell, Alexandra Hill, Kathy Bergeron. Do you swear to affirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do, Rosa Rodriguez.
I do, Lisa Chavez.
I do, Helen Bordelon.
I do, Keegan McConnell.
I do, Kathy Bergeron.
Excellent. I see Ms. Hill's not here today. Right. She doesn't have to swear. That's good. All right. Let's go back. All right, there's a, here we go. All right, so the introduction to this area. Before we begin, I want to advise everyone this proceeding is being recorded. Accordingly, it is important that everyone speaks loudly and clearly, especially since we have no microphones, and that only one person speaks at a time. To ensure we have an accurate record, please say your name each time before speaking. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of the case and to decide the outcome. The licensees have received a notice informing them of the matters to be discussed today and the process for the informal interview and the possible actions that the board may take. All right, so going back to the point. Our first case is case number INSP-82071, Terrence Bryant, member of the LLC, a license number BAR-00184-7. Terrence and Cindy Bryant, our LLC, is the owner, and Cindy Bryant is also a member. Are they present?
Cindy Bryant is, yes.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Cindy?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, real quick, I apologize for interrupting. I would like the record to reflect that we do this month have an LLC attestation form signed and on file with the office.
Just going to ask you. All right, so now based on that, Ms. Bryant, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll give today will be full and truthful?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. I'm going to have our investigator review the case with us, and then I'll come back and ask you questions, okay?
Okay.
All right. Hello, thank you.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Bigley, members of the board. My name is Helen Bordelon. On August 25th of 2022, I conducted an inspection of Starting Lineup Barbershop. I found the following violations. An unlicensed establishment. Donnell Perryman was providing services with an expired license. It expired in 2017. I also found Alvin Chastain III providing services without a license. However, after further review, Alvin Chastain III did obtain a barber's license on September 30th of 2022. And as of March 21st of 2023, according to the board's database, the establishment license was approved and issued with an expiration date of June 30th, 2022. If you have any other questions, I'll be happy to address them. Thank you.
Board members have questions for the investigator?
Just one quick one. You say expires on June 22?
Oh, for the establishment license?
Okay, that's it.
The establishment license will expire on June 30th of 2023.
Okay, gotcha.
All right. Any other questions?
When you did the inspection, he didn't have a license when you did the inspection on August 25th, 2022, but he did eventually get a license. But the day we inspected, he was unlicensed barber.
That is correct.
Okay.
But he got his license a month later, eventually.
Yes.
If I may, I could talk to that.
Hang on one second.
Okay.
All right. Are there any other questions by the board of our administrator? All right. Yes. Ms. Bryant, you reviewed this case and are aware of the charges?
Yes.
Would you please tell us what's going on?
Okay, so for Alvin, the one who got his license after the inspection, he graduated from Dunbar Barber College and was under the impression Dunbar Barber College was supposed to send supposed to get their barber licenses for them, send all the paperwork. And so he was under the impression that he was licensed. And so when he was shocked that he wasn't, I gather. And so he went back and so I don't know if there was a miscommunication between the graduates of Dunbar and Dunbar, but that was like an unintentional unknowing that he did not have one. He's a new barber and that one.
Okay.
Donnell Perryman has been a barber for many years. And we were unaware that he did not have a license. Shortly after the inspection, he was let go. And that honestly is our bad as new barbershop owners. In not confirming, I guess, and seeing that people, maybe even calling the state board and seeing that people have a license that's right. Valid and not expired.
Right. And you can look that up online on our website.
I didn't know all of that. I mean, I'm learning a lot over the last, year or so. As for the establishment license, we believed that we had an establishment license since June 22nd of 22. We got approved. Well, it was part of our approval for an internship program that we were granted by the state. So, when we applied for the internship program, they had said, you need to get an establishment license. We sent them our business license and our LLC and, everything. And we have actually an email chain that, you know, with members from the Barber Board and members from the internship program saying that, you know, we paid the $150 and no one said there was anything more that we had to do besides paying that $150. So we were shocked that we didn't have an establishment license.
Okay.
And since then, you know, I even talked to Helen in depth on this, a couple phone conversations, email chain also, and after she investigated it, you know, and then confirmed that we didn't have the barbershop establishment license, we started working with, you know, Alicia Ailman, and then we found out we didn't own rights to the name, so we had to get a trademark name and apply for that, and got the trademark cert, and it just was this, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, I'm certain that you guys could probably agree that last year's website did not define clear steps on what's needed to own a barbershop, have a barbershop establishment license. You also have to have a Cosmo license. So I see since then there's been a lot of improvements on your website in the last year. And I do think that this is, you know, will make it easier for new owners moving forward.
Sure. Okay, thank you. Ms. Bordelon, how was the facility?
Mr. Bagley, members of the board, the establishment was clean.
Oh, good.
No sanitation issues.
All right. And in summary of this, we could now recognize that the facility is licensed and apparently the people there are licensed. So we did get cleaned up. Good that you found it in the condition that you did. Does the board have any other questions about this situation?
Just a question for the staff. For staff, it was just the what you recommend was the $500 civil penalty, correct? For the for the unestablished. Yes. What about the unlicensed barbers?
That's correct. $500
total.
Yes.
Okay.
So this is Goodman, and for the licensee, first, can you hear me?
Ms. Bryant, can you hear?
Oh yes, I can.
Okay, thank you. So you found out that Alvin didn't have a license and some misunderstanding that now you've learned from. Did Alvin continue to give services and be with clients between then and getting a license?
Alvin has a part-time, he only does this part-time. I honestly can't answer if he went in during those few weeks.
Okay. For future reference, the answer should be no.
I'm just trying to be honest here.
No. Yes, you've tested. You definitely should be honest. Thank you. And then as far as requiring licenses of those that you employ, what process do you have in place today?
So
it's
now,
clear that you didn't before. So now what is today's process?
Correct. So now I actually have a spreadsheet of when they expire. They have to have their cert posted or their license posted. And I have it on my calendar.
Okay. So you've got a system and a backup system as well as physically present. You're requiring them to have the license. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Tracy Mayfield here, a question for the inspector. When you went in and the establishment didn't have a license, was there anything posted or like a number or some sort of thing where they thought they had the license?
Mr. Bailey, member Mayfield, there was nothing posted. Other than like their price list and that kind of thing, there is nothing posted in the establishment.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I get Goodman again. I do have a question for the licensee. As a shop, you continued to operate after the inspection and until you received the actual facility license, correct?
That is correct. And we thought we had an establishment license. Cool. And then worked through getting one.
Yeah, there was a point where you knew you didn't. Okay, thank you. So for discussion, is that where we're at now in the show?
We have no more questions.
Yeah, I don't have any more. I don't know.
I'm good.
All right, we're going to go into the deliberation process at this point.
Yeah, for discussion, so essentially what we are saying with the $500 fine is to other potential shop owners is go open a shop and you may just end up paying a fee later of $500 if you have unlicensed cosmetologists / or barbers, you unlicensed facility. That sounds a lot closer to the Wild West than a regulated system and structure. So, I mean, if we want to set the precedent of unregulated, then this would be a great way to do it, is only do a $500 fine. I think we need to have more accountability and better protections for the public than a $500 fine would lead to.
So, quick. Cindy, quick question for you.
Yes.
I heard you say something earlier about the apprenticeship program, correct?
Correct.
Now, are you aware that that's under DES? And it's something totally different than having an establishment license now?
Yes, but I mean, it is a state program or a stately run, just like the barber board, correct?
Mr. Chair, Member Knox, it is a completely separately operated program from the Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board. That program is administered federally by the Department of Labor and funded through the Arizona Department of Economic Security. Our sole involvement with that program is licensing of the individuals on the back end of the completion of their apprenticeship program.
So, Cindy, essentially what I'm getting to is, I get that you thought that they were, same program, but no, it's totally, like I said, totally different now. So just for future reference, if you do have someone doing an apprenticeship program, still realize that, you know, there are two different sets of rules for that. Because I think I want to get into that. That's what's part of the reason.
No, yeah, the misunderstanding. Yeah.
Yes, and I understand that it was two, but both parties were on the email. There was people from the barber board on the email chain that clearly read okay from the internship program because they confirmed that I paid the establishment license. No one from the barber board said, but you need to go through these other steps. That wasn't, you know, communicated to me at all.
Is there any record of her paying anything for life?
I mean, I paid twice for the establishment license. I paid on June 22nd, and then I had to pay again when we, you know, well, I didn't have to pay again, but I ended up paying again. And then I thought, gosh, this seems redundant. I know I've paid this $150, and then the barbershop board had to reimburse me $150. So, you know, this was not ill-intended. We did not knowingly, you know, not have an establishment license, and the website does not specify what is clearly needed.
Okay. Do we have any other questions from the board?
Nope.
Do we have a motion?
Tracy Mayfield, I move that we adopt the factual allegations and the conclusions of law.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, unanimously agree this happened. We have an motion for an order of discipline in this matter.
I move that based on the finding of facts and conclusion of law, that we.
Is there benefit from that plan?
I'm sorry, I can't. No. There can't be any whispering. I need to have everybody to speak loudly.
I was just reading through it.
This is Mona Baskin. Started yes. Rough.
So this is Marshall Knox. I move that based on the finding of facts, conclusion of law, that we assess a civil penalty of $500 with a 12-month probationary period.
All right. We have a motion.
Goodman second for discussion purposes.
Okay.
Well, it, are we limited that we have to have it at 500? I do not believe it's our job to go and punish people. I do believe it's to protect the public. And $500, like I said before, just says go about it. And at some point we may inspect you or we will inspect you. And then, hey, it's $500. I see the future board meeting where someone says, hey, what about in case and references this case? Why did they only have $500 for unlicensed facility and you know, individuals working there? I just think we need to set a different precedent that this is more important than how it's playing out right now if we did $500. Yeah, I don't actually know the right amount. I'd be open to that. My gut is if I were to start a business and I could pay a fine some period later of only $500, it'd be a great business choice just to go about it and start it and hope it all works out. And we don't want to incentivize that in the community.
Might be a good place for an educational event.
I mean, this is Trista Guzman Glover. My inclination is, you know, I wouldn't support a higher amount. I think I'd actually prefer under 500. It sounds like there was some miscommunication and I understand that. And, but I mean, yeah, that's my thoughts.
Mr. Beckley, members of the board, this is Mona Baskin, just to answer Mr. Goodman's question. I would turn your attention to ARS 32352 as far as disciplinary actions, and you are limited to a civil penalty in amount not to exceed $500. And let me also.
Right. Now, we could, though, Ms. Vasquez, sorry. We could have multiple penalties because there are multiple infractions.
You know, the actual language doesn't, whereas other boards, you are absolutely correct, because what other boards state is per violation. But pursuant to your statute, it says impose a civil penalty in amount not to exceed $500. However, the board may take any one or a combination of the following disciplinary actions. So it could be revoke a license. It could be suspend a license. The civil penalty not to exceed 500. Imposed probation or publicly reprove a license. So, or issue a disciplinary letter of concern. So they can be in combination, but we don't have that language per violation that you correctly point out is in the statute.
And to follow up on that, Mr. Chair, Mr. Goodman, this is specific barber statutory language, which is different than the cosmetology statute language here. So that may be where you might be. There could be some confusion because we do have some higher civil penalty options on the cosmetology side than we do on the barbering side. But to Ms. Baskin's point, the max we could do on a barbering case, the way the statute is written right now, is $500.
That's what I'm doing. Okay.
All right.
So I would go with that.
Should we add a disciplinary letter?
Absolutely. You have
I mean.
Any one in combination.
Do we have the ability to do a sign of class?
Yes, that would be one of them, and it would be under the probationary term.
Are there, you, in the industry, are there appropriate classes that we can, we have one that we can sign her up for?
And Mr. Chair, members of the board, just for, by way of education, to be clear, the course that we offer is very specific to infection protection and health concerns. There is some law aspects of that, but it's very focused on the health and safety side more so than any type of the licensure requirements.
I think what it was, like I said, it was a mistake that was made. They figured it out. They know that they're not even getting hit with the, because of the way the laws and statutes are set up, they're only getting hit with just the max, which is 5. Because normally, if the laws were written differently, the penalty would be more. But this is the max that we can do is 5. So really, that's why I say 500, I feel like, is doable because it's actually under what it really could have been.
Okay. Nick, did you have a second when you presented that?
Yeah, I.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay.
All right, so we, by majority, passed this case with a $500 fine. Ms. Bryant, I think you can understand from the discussion we had, we consider this very serious. We appreciate you coming to line. You had some good fortune that the law was the way it was for you. So we trust that we won't be hearing about your place again, except for great accolades of your progress in the paper, right?
Correct. I mean, we, you know, like I said, no ill intention. This was definitely miscommunication, and I'm very glad you guys are changing your platform for future business owners.
Okay, great. You'll get a letter about this case showing the event, and it'll show you how long you have to pay your fine. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.